here on VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Brian Lynn reports on doctors successfully treating irregular heartbeat with radiation. Faith Perlow answers a question about woods, forests, and jungles. And we listen to a story by Kate Chopin called Atenaeus. But first,
American researchers have reported some success using radiation to treat patients experiencing irregular heartbeats. The highly experimental treatment has only been tried on a small number of patients, but doctors are preparing to carry out the first major study to test its effectiveness on large groups of people. Scientists working on the treatment say early research suggests radiation may reprogram misfiring heart cells to control heartbeats like younger, healthier cells do. An irregular heartbeat, known medically as ventricular tachycardia, is a major cause of sudden heart attacks worldwide. In the United States, the condition is blamed for about 300,000 deaths each year. Treating the condition with radiation is extremely unusual. Even doctors treating cancer patients are trained to avoid targeting the heart. There is concern that the radiation could cause additional harm. But doctors studying the treatment say they have seen such good results, they are looking forward to expanding their research. The scientific team says the treatment would be targeted at patients with life-threatening irregular heartbeats who have tried other methods without success. The study will attempt to see whether a one-time radiation treatment can be a safe and effective way to treat irregular heartbeat patients who have not been helped by other methods. Dr. Stacy Rentschler is a developmental biologist who treats heart patients at the Washington University in St. Louis. She told the Associated Press the treatment may actually rejuvenate sick tissue. Rentschler called that result pretty exciting. One patient who agreed to receive the experimental treatment is Jeff Backus of Louisville, Kentucky. He was unable to solve his heart problems with other treatment methods. Backus had already gone through a lengthy operation to keep his heart beating normally. Doctors put a piece of equipment called a defibrillator inside his body to assist his heart when needed. But Backus's poor health continued. He would sometimes pass out and awaken to severe chest pain. Backus said the defibrillator had to save him by shocking his heart back into normal beating. You're always in the back of your mind thinking, is it going to happen? Backus told the AP. He decided to try the experimental radiation treatment in February. So far, he is doing well, and the method, he said, gave me some hope. The heart's electrical system normally makes it beat at a rate anywhere from 60 to 100 times a minute. Ventricular tachycardia is a super-fast heartbeat that affects the organ's ability to pump blood. The condition can develop after damage from a past heart attack. The main treatment method involves doctors putting small catheters inside the heart to identify and burn misfiring tissue, which can block bad signals. Some patients, however, are too sick to receive the catheter treatment. And for others, like Backus, the problem often returns. The idea for the radiation treatment came from Dr. Philip Kusilich, a heart specialist at Washington University. Kusilich teamed up with Dr. Clifford Robinson, who specializes in exact targeting of cancer while avoiding nearby healthy tissue. Robinson said he was never aiming for the heart during cancer treatments and instead always tried to miss the organ. But he agreed to try and warned patients about possible long-term risks. He said his first patient told him, "You're concerned about something that might happen 10 or 20 years from now. I'm worried about tomorrow." That was really eye-opening, he added. Kusilich and Robinson reported their first successes in 2017 and 2019. Experiments with small numbers of severely sick patients showed major improvement. They say some patients are doing well up to 6 years later. I'm Brian Lynn.
Hi, Faith. What's today's topic for Ask a Teacher?
Hi, Dan. We'll be talking about the differences between woods, forests, and jungles.
Oh, cool. I went to a rainforest for the first time a couple years ago. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah? Where?
I went to a rainforest in Alaska.
Alaska is so far north. I didn't even know that they had rainforests there.
I didn't even know either until I visited. The rainforests in Alaska are called temperate rainforests, and they are pretty rare. But it was really cool. It had so much vegetation. Do you have any favorite forests, Faith?
My favorite forests are actually in my home state of West Virginia. West Virginia is actually made up of 78% forests, and it is the third most forested state in the United States. So I have visited many forests, like Combrébow, Monongahela, and Cooper's Rock.
Oh, nice. Have you been to any rainforests?
I visited a rainforest in Puerto Rico, which is actually part of the United States. The rainforest is called El Yunque. It is actually the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. National Forest System. I got to swim in one of the natural waterfall pools.
That sounds like a fun experience. Thanks for sharing that, Faith. Now let's listen to this week's Ask a Teacher.
Hello. This week on Ask a Teacher, we will answer a question about the difference between woods, forests, and jungles. Hello, teacher. This is Sumaira from Pakistan. I have been listening to the podcast since August 2022. I am so glad that it helps me to improve my listening skills. I want to ask you about the difference between the words woods, forest, and jungle. Thanks, Sumaira. Thanks for writing to us, Sumaira. I love this question because I grew up playing in the woods a lot as a child. Let's start with the word woods. Woods are areas covered with tall, growing trees. They are smaller than a forest. The word appears in the singular form, a wood, especially in British English. The main difference between woods and a forest is the size of the land area and the amount of ground fully covered by trees, called the canopy. There are several definitions for a forest. The U.S. National Vegetation Classification System classifies a forest as having 60 to 100% of the land covered by the tree canopy. The same system says woods are classified as having only 25 to 60% of the land covered by the tree canopy. A wood can be small, so long as it is bigger than a grouping of trees. A forest is a larger area where tall trees grow close together, largely covering the ground below. There are three main kinds of forests found around the world. The first are temperate deciduous forests. Deciduous means that the tree's leaves turn different colors and fall off each year. These forests exist where the climate has four seasons and the temperature changes throughout the year. Many forests in Europe, the United States, and parts of Canada are temperate deciduous forests. Animals that you would find in these forests include bears, deer, squirrels, owls, and snakes. Boreal forests are found in colder climates that often have freezing temperatures. They are found in places around the Baltic Sea, Siberia, northern Canada, and Alaska. Animals you would find in a boreal forest include reindeer, moose, Arctic hares, wolves, and wolverines. Tropical forests are found near the equator, in warmer, more humid climates. These forests experience two seasons, a rainy season and a dry season. In some tropical forests, the tree's leaves will fall off in the dry season, just like deciduous forests. Tropical forests are found in places like India, northern Australia, parts of Mexico and Bolivia, and in northwestern South America on the Pacific coast. This brings us to our next word, which is jungle. The word jungle is a common term, not a scientific one, for forests found in the tropics. They are very dense and have a lot of undergrowth, which means many of the plants and vegetation grow close to the ground. This undergrowth becomes tangled together and is extremely difficult to walk through. Animals you would find in a tropical jungle include primates, like gorillas and monkeys, birds like parrots, and reptiles like tropical snakes and lizards. Sometimes the word jungle is used to describe a rainforest. But a rainforest is another kind of forest. It has high rainfall throughout much of the year. The largest tropical rainforest is the Amazon rainforest in South America. There are also temperate rainforests in the Pacific Northwest in the United States. Please let us know if these explanations and examples have helped you, Sumaira. What question do you have about American English? Send us an email at learningenglish@voanews.com. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Faith Perlow.
Our story today is called Athenaïs. It was written by Kate Chopin. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Athenaïs went away one morning to visit her parents, 10 miles back on the Bon Dieu River in Louisiana. She did not return in the evening, and Cazot, her husband, was worried. Cazot expressed his worries to his servant, Félicité, who served him dinner. He ate alone by the light of a coal oil lamp. Félicité stood nearby like a restless shadow. "Only married 2 months and she has her head turned already to leave? It is not right," she said. Cazot shrugged his shoulders. Félicité's opinion of his wife's behavior after 2 months of marriage did not matter to him. He was used to being alone and did not mind a night or two of it. Cazot stood up and walked outside. The night was beginning to deepen and gather black around the groups of trees in the yard. Far away, he could hear the sound of someone playing an accordion. Nearby, a baby was crying. Cazot's horse was waiting, saddled. He still had much farm work to do before bedtime. He did not have time to think about Athenaïs, but he felt her absence like a deep pain. Before he slept that night, Cazot was visited by an image of Athenaïs's pale young face, with its soft lips and sensual eyes. The marriage had been a mistake. He had only to look into her eyes to feel that, to sense her growing dislike of him. But the marriage could not be undone, and he was ready to make the best of it, and expected the same effort from her. These sad thoughts kept Cazot awake far into the night. The moon was shining, and its pale light reached into the room. It was still outside, with no sound except the distant notes of the accordion. Athenaïs did not return the next day, although her husband sent a message to do so through her brother, Monteclin. On the third day, Cazot prepared his horse and went himself in search of her. Athenaïs's parents, the Michets, lived in a large home owned by a trader who lived in town. The house was far too big for their use. Upstairs, the rooms were so large and empty that they were used for parties. A dance at the Michet home and a plate of Madame Michet's gumbo were pleasures not to be missed. Madame Michet was sitting on the porch outside the house. She stood up to greet Cazot. She was short and fat, with a cheery face. But she was clearly tense as Cazot arrived. Monteclin was there, too. But he was not uneasy. He made no effort to hide his dislike of Cazot. "Dirty pig," he said under his breath as Cazot climbed the stairs to the porch. Monteclin disliked Cazot for refusing to lend him money long ago. Now that this man was his sister's husband, he disliked him even more. Michet and his oldest son were away. They both respected Cazot and talked highly of him. Cazot shook hands with Madame Michet, who offered him a chair. Atenaiz had shut herself in her room. "You know, nothing would do last night," Madame Miche said. "Atenaiz just had to stay for a little dance. The boys would not let their sister leave." Cazot shrugged his shoulders to show he knew nothing about last night. "Didn't Monteclin tell you we were going to keep Atenaiz?" she asked. But Monteclin had told him nothing. "And how about the night before?" asked Cazot. "And last night? Do you have dances every night?" Madame Miche laughed and told her son to go tell Atenaiz her husband had arrived. Monteclin did not move. "You know as well as I do that it is no use to tell Atenaiz anything," said Monteclin. "You and Pa have been talking to her since Monday. When Atenaiz said she was not returning to Cazot, she meant it." Two fiery red spots rose to Cazot's cheeks. What Monteclin said was true. Upon arriving home, Atenaiz had announced she was there to stay. It was difficult for her to understand why she had married. Girls were just expected to get married. And she did like Cazot. Monteclin had asked Atenaiz to explain herself. He had asked her if Cazot abused her or if he drank too much. "No," Atenaiz had said, "it is just being married that I hate. I do not like being Mrs. Cazot. I want to be Atenaiz Miche again. I do not like living with a man, all his clothing everywhere, and his ugly bare feet." At the time, Monteclin had been sorry his sister had no serious evidence to use against Cazot. And now there was Cazot himself looking like he wanted to hit Monteclin. Cazot stood up and went inside the house to his wife's room. "Atenaiz, get ready," he said quietly. "It is late, and we do not have time to lose." Atenaiz was not prepared for his calm request. She felt a sense of hopelessness about continuing to rebel against the idea of marriage. She gathered her hat and gloves. Then she walked downstairs past her brother and mother, got on her horse, and rode away. Cazot followed behind her. It was late when they reached home. Cazot once more ate dinner alone. Atenaiz sat in her room crying. Atenaiz's parents had hoped that marriage would bring a sense of responsibility so deeply lacking in her character. No one could understand why she so hated her role as wife. Cazot had never spoken angrily to her, or called her names, or failed to give her everything she wanted. His main offense seemed to be that he loved her, and Atenaiz was not a woman to be loved against her will. At breakfast, Atenaiz complained to her husband. "Why did you have to marry me when there were so many other girls to choose from?" she asked. "And it is strange that if you hate my brother so much, why would you marry his sister?" "I do not know what any of them have to do with it," Cazot said. "I married you because I loved you. I guess I was fool to think I could make you happy. I do not know what else to do but
make the best of a bad deal, and shake hands over it. It now seemed to Athenaïs that her brother was the only friend left to her in the world. Her parents had turned from her, and her friends laughed at her. But Monteclin had an idea for securing his sister's freedom. After some thought, Athenaïs agreed to his plan. The next morning, Cazot woke up to find his wife was gone. She had packed her belongings and left in the night. Cazot felt a terrible sense of loss. It was not new. He had felt it for weeks. He realized he had missed his chance for happiness. He could not think of loving any other woman, and could not imagine Athenaïs ever caring for him. He wrote her a letter stating that he did not want her back unless she returned of her own free will. Athenaïs had escaped to the big city of New Orleans. She was staying at a private hotel that Monteclin had chosen and paid to rent for a month. A woman named Sylvie owned the hotel and took good care of Athenaïs. Athenaïs soon became friends with Mr. Gouvernail, who was also staying at the hotel. This friendship helped her feel less lonely about missing her family. But Mr. Gouvernail soon started to fall in love with Athenaïs. He knew she was uninformed, unsatisfied, and strong-willed, but he also suspected that she loved her husband, although she did not know it. Bitter as this belief was, he accepted it. Athenaïs's last week in the city was coming to an end. She had not found a job and was too homesick to stay any longer. Also, she had not been feeling well. She complained in detail about her sickness to Sylvie. Sylvie was very wise, and Athenaïs was very stupid. Sylvie very calmly explained to Athenaïs that she was feeling sick because she was pregnant. Athenaïs sat very still for a long time thinking about this new information. Her whole being was overcome with a wave of happiness. Then she stood up, ready to take action. She had to tell her mother, and Cazot. As she thought of him, a whole new sense of life swept over her. She could not wait to return to him. The next day, Athenaïs spent traveling home. When she arrived at Cazot's, he lifted her out of the horse carriage, and they held each other tight. The country night was warm and still, except for a baby crying in the distance. "Listen, Cazot," said Athenaïs, "how Juliet's baby is crying. Poor darling, I wonder what is the matter with it."
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.